Clayton. John Clayton.
And now, I'm done with my segment.
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day at this time with Bob, Dave, and more. If you guys have questions for John, text them in right now to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll try to get to your questions before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hey, busy day today, huh? Tuesdays are always busy.
There's a lot going on. Before we get to some of the stories going on around the league, how concerned are you about the running back position for this team being as right now DJ Dallas is the only one not dealing with any sort of injury situation?
Very, because it's a different type of way, but an even stranger repeat of what you saw last year. Because remember, you know, the Seahawks closed the season with Week 16 home game against Arizona, and then of course the last game against San Fran, and of course here it is, Arizona this past week, San Fran this week, and all the running backs are maybe gone, and that's bad. And so doesn't look like CJ Procise is on the target because he just re-signed in Houston on the practice squad, and so if Seattle wanted him, they could have signed him today, but he wouldn't have been able to play on Sunday. So it looks like he's not in the mix. And so, yeah, it's very concerning, even maybe more so than last year. Now, again, I guess the good thing is, you know, at some point Carson comes back, whether it's this week, next week, or whenever. Hyde's going to probably have to gut it out with that hamstring injury, and they got to see how bad the injury on the knee is for Travis Homer. But no, this is very concerning because, you know, it's nice to say, as Pete did, we have to be creative with the running game, but creative with what?
How much damage does this do to Chris Carson's case? He went into this season, a contract year, trying to prove he could be durable because he's missed time each year. And not that it's his fault by any stretch, but he got hurt again. Mm-hmm. And if he misses time, do you see the Seahawks going, you know what, we can't afford to commit to this guy, any sort of big-time deal?
I think it kills his chances of getting a long-term contract. It still puts him in a position, you know, as a franchise guy, because the one thing would be, you know, depending on where it is with Rashad Penny, if Penny's fine, then they may say, okay, Chris, we're just going to let you go, and the franchise number is going to come down because of the change in the CBA as far as what's going to be the count for the cap. And so, I think it kills any kind of long-term deal just because, again, you know, you can't trust the fact that he's healthy. I mean, hey, we watched it in a major way, even probably more so with CJ Procise, and you know that Carson's so much better than Procise, but in the end, it's like you got to stay healthy because your availability on the field is the most important thing.
John, Bob and Jim were talking in the open about that you got to bring people in, you know, get some talent. I'm kind of playing devil's advocate as far as defensive players. You know, maybe you need to save things for later on in the, you know, if you make a big move. Where are you on that? Do you think they need to bring in more talent defensively? Is that the answer?
I think they need to bring in a pass rusher. I think you can see today they made the move that Anthony Rush was cut at defensive tackle. So that kind of tells you that Damon Harrison should be on the field this week in some degree. So I think that does tell you something. But also what it tells you is that they still, I mean, when you go 48 passes by Kyler Murray and not get one quarterback hit and only get one pressure, that's not good. And so, you know, you'll get more pressures on Jimmy Garoppolo, but it puts him in a position, and because you're running out of time because the options aren't there. I mean, Everson Griffin, remember we talked about the idea of what was going to be going for a draft choice, and it turned out exactly like I thought, a sixth round pick. And so he ends up going to Detroit, but they've got to come up, I think, with another option, because right now, not knowing when Daryl Taylor is going to be back, they will get Rasheem Green probably back this week, but here's the other problem. This is why they couldn't do anything, at least immediately, with Griffin, is that the Seahawks only have $1.3 million of cap room right now. They're the lowest in the league. Now, does that panic you? No, because you can do something and maybe trade Jacob Hollister. I don't know about he didn't get anything for B.J. Finney. You can do some things there, and if necessary, you can go to Bobby Wagner. You can go to another player and try to get some kind of relief as far as just replace base salary with signing bonus and do that. So you can do that at moment's notice, but in the end, I think what you're looking at is that they still need more pass rush help.
Well, John, of these names we've been talking about, Carlos Dunlap, Ryan Kerrigan, Alden Smith, Clay Matthews, Takaris McKinley from the Falcons, which seems not necessarily like the best option, but one that might work for Seattle the best?
Let's put it this way. If they couldn't afford necessarily, I'm not talking about the draft choice. I'm talking about just the cap cost on Everson Griffin, because he's now going to be a little over $3 million over the cap because he got a one-year $6 million deal. I mean, they can't do Dunlap. They can't do Kerrigan. I mean, these guys have, you know, 10 or $11 million base salaries. And sure, you may have it, but it's not going to do you any good. So that doesn't work out. McKinley could be an option because, again, he's a former first-round pick, and if they're willing to give him away for a sixth-round pick because they're not going to re-sign him next year, then that could be an option. But I thought the first option was going to be Everson Griffin, and, you know, it didn't seem to be in the eyes of the Seahawks, but it was in the eyes of others because, again, you know, he's got such a lower base than some of these other players.
As far as cornerback goes, how do you feel about that spot, John? Because it seems like Dunbar may be dealing with injury through the season. We're not sure. We'll see what happens with Shaq Griffin. He's coming off concussion, and he's got a hamstring issue. And Trey Flowers, frankly, has just looked as bad as you could possibly imagine for a guy who really showed a lot of promise his first 2 years. So I don't feel great about the cornerback depth either.
Well, and I'll tell you, there's a sleeper name that's out there that, you know, you don't hear much about him, but a guy that they really believe in, and that's DJ Reed. You know, DJ Reed was a cornerback, returns guy for the San Francisco 49ers, and he got an injury, and so he was on the injured reserve list, and they waived him injured, hoping to get him back, but now Seattle put the claim in on him, and I know that he's close to coming off that injury list, and so I think you can look and see that that's one addition that they're going to make, and you know, where he fits into the scheme, we'll have to see, because he has to get on the field and do some things, but I think that, you know, DJ Reed is a player that what you're looking at is might be able to help, because again, he was, you know, he now, I think, could be available pretty soon.
Hey, John, pretty cool story with Dez Bryant saying he tweeted out he can't stop crying. He's signed to the Ravens practice squad. Hasn't played since December of 2017. Mm-hmm. You think he makes his way onto the regular roster?
It'll take a couple weeks because, again, you know, has been out for so long, so he's going to need some time to get into football shape and all that stuff. But at least he knows he has a job, and at least he knows there's a future there. And so at some point, I think they'll get him on the active roster. Not immediately, but you know, get him to a point where he can try to do some things. By the way, when you're speaking about the crying thing, remember how Zach Allen came over with that ankle injury and was crying on the sideline?
Oh, the Arizona Cardinal.
The Arizona Cardinal. Well, he just went on injured reserve.
Oh, shoot.
So he's crying, too.
Well, the other one was Kenyon Drake. Yeah. Do we find out what happened?
It's a high ankle sprain. And
oh,
so,
okay.
You know, I don't know if it's a – it's, you know, normally that could be 4 to 6 weeks. This one may not be as bad, but he's going to be out at least 2 or 3 weeks.
Professor, I'm curious about the state of the 49ers. They're hard to figure out. Maybe it was just
California.
Yeah.
I couldn't resist. It's like, sorry, Jim.
Good one, Professor. I really enjoyed that. Okay, so what are they good? Are they bad? Are they in between? What's their injury state right now?
Bad. Really bad. I mean, where it's so bad is that, you know, they – have Debo Samuel went on injured reserve, so that's not good. So he's going to be out at least 3 weeks, and they're really short at the running back position, at wide receiver. Then at running back, they had a great game out of Jeff Wilson. Well, he got a high ankle sprain. He's out 4 to 6 weeks, so he went on injured reserve. You know, their two starting safeties, you know, Tart and they're injured. We don't know where their status is going to be. So no, it's not good. I mean, they've got some real issues right now at that. So you know, stay tuned there.
Professor, what in the heck happened? Did I misread the box score? I saw that Jamar Taylor, who was a nickel guy here in Seattle, mm-hmm. had two interceptions in the New England game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, one, he gets to thank Cam Newton, who's playing horrible, and two, it's you know, kind of a big surprise that you know, he was able to do that. But hey, good for him. I mean, you know, Cam was throwing it all over the place. I mean, and so far, you know, and he's been horrible since the Seattle game. I mean, 7 interceptions and 2 touchdown passes, and you know, he completed 7 of 17 on Sunday and got benched, and he's really feeling the heat. So in the end, we'll see.
That's like your Chris Taylor, Jim.
Yeah, very much so.
Another player for Jim to hate. John, it seems as though Jerry Jones is starting to feel the heat. I want to play this cut for you. You may have heard it. He was on with Shannon, RJ, and talking about leadership out there.
Does your team have a leadership void?
We're in the offensive line. Where
overall,
where,
when
seriously, where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no.
I'm asking.
Well, just shut up and let me answer. No.
He seems a little edgy. John.
A little bit, yeah. That does sound edgy, and he did come back apologizing afterwards because he lost it. But, I mean, you know, think about how bad he's got to feel. They're arguably now the third worst team in the league behind the New York Jets and Jim's Jacksonville Jaguars. And, you know, now you're down to Ben DiNucci and Garrett Gilbert at quarterback. And so you're down four starting offensive linemen. Ezekiel Elliott, it's a fumble waiting to happen. And, you know, you got a coach right now making $9.5 million, and the players are really seemingly against him. So it is a bad situation.
Hey, John, how about this, the Brian Greasy cut? If we can play cut number five, he's talking about what he was told by Foles on the Monday Night Football production meeting.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
Holy smokes.
Wow. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Doesn't sound like a good communication going on.
No, I mean, and you know, and I know that Nagy has been yelling at his offense for the last several weeks, but I think they've got a lot of yelling period. I know they're 5-2, and you know, you say, well, hey, well, they're 5-1 coming into this week. They're really good. Well, no, they're not. They're one of the six worst offenses in the National Football League, and they're wasting a great defensive effort. Now, again, the defense keeps them in a spot where they can still win, but it's going to catch up to them because as bad as they are on offense, they don't have anything in the running game. Their offensive line is bad, and it seems like Foles is not on the same page with Nagy, which is not a good thing.
John, I got a kick out of it. I didn't hear the audio, but I saw what Doug Marrone had to say in Jacksonville today. He's all fired up, Professor. And he goes, I know that I shouldn't be fired up. We've lost six in a row, and I know people are going to mock me, but let's go. I'm thinking out of the box. Boy, I guess he's pretty desperate these days there in Jacksonville.
Oh, absolutely. And he's got to be desperate because, you know, the way this season has gone, I mean, he's one of the candidates on the hot seat to get fired before the end of the season. Now, again, what do you do to replace him? I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. And, you know, it keeps him in the mix as long as they keep losing to get Trevor Lawrence. Sorry, Gardner Minshew. But, you know, again, it's like it's such a bad situation. But they're so bad. I mean, we're saying this. And, again, I thought that Garner does a good job of putting up good numbers, but he can't win a game with that team. In fact, with that team, as bad as the defense is, I don't know who could win a game with that team.
John, are you getting the sense that the Texans are ready to part ways with J.J. Watt?
I think that they would if there's an option, but I don't know what option it would be. I know, for example, you know, he'd love to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, again, he'd like to stay a Texan all his life. He's a loyal guy like that, but I think that, you know, they've got to look because of their cap situation to figuring out. But then if you get rid of J.J. Watt, then you have even less on defense. I mean, they can't stop the run. They're no good. They have no pass rush, and, you know, it's an abominable team right now. That's the thing. I mean, I say this, and, you know, I keep talking to front office people around the league and saying, have you ever seen more haves and have-nots? And they said, no, we haven't. This is one of the most amazing years for haves and have-nots. And there's so many have-nots.
John, 509 wants to know if you heard anything about Earl Thomas. No. What's going on?
Nope.
Nothing going on there.
Zero.
That's
how surprising is it that nobody took a run? He must have really done damage just in terms of his rep around the league for a guy with that level of ability still to be hanging out there with defenses needing help.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he had, because again, it's like whatever bridge he burned, I mean, you know, to a point where in Houston, they took a vote and the vote said that we don't want this guy. The players took a vote and they said, no, we don't want him.
Professor, how about some praise for Johnny Hecker today?
Oh, great. I mean, local guy, did a great job. And don't you get the feeling, because I mean, you know, as great as he was placing, what, 5 inside the 10-yard line or 5 inside the 5? Incredible. He'll be the special teams player of the week in the conference. But also, I mean, you're seeing the same thing out of Michael Dixon. And so it's just kind of great to see these two kickers do what they do.
John, the 253 says, please tell me that if the NFC East champion gets to host a playoff game with a 6-10 record, that the league will do something so this doesn't happen again.
I hope they don't, and I don't think they should. And the reason I say that is that as bad as this is, you know, the NFC East is still one of the most watched divisions in football. You know, that first game in the division between the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys, as bad as that was, drew over 20 million viewers. And you notice that as bad as the division was last year, they still put so many games on prime time. They got like the Giant game this week, or the Dallas-Philadelphia game is going to be that. But it makes too much money for them to change it. And also realizing it would take away the division rivalries. And the division rivalries are the things that make this sport so good because you play them. And of course, yeah, they'd still be playing in the division. But again, you want to have the reward, even if it's not a reward, of having the chance to win a division. It just would take away too much, and I don't think they'd ever do it.
Hey, John, you know, when we played the Dolphins earlier, we talked about how much money they have tied up into their corners, and I guess there was some talk about Xavier Howard possibly being traded, but they're saying they're denying that. Where did that rumor come from, do you think?
Like some rumors that are bad. I mean, you know, I think that they're still trying to, where it came from, who knows. But again, I just don't see it being true, you know, particularly, they're trying to, stay in a playoff race, if you want to call it that, at 3-3 with not a very good team. And if you get rid of one of the high paid cornerbacks, because they got the two of the highest paid cornerbacks in the league, you're making yourself weaker and not better.
John, the Seahawks have the best record in the NFC West, but are they the best team in the division?
I still say right now, yes, but I think you have to be concerned because they have lost to Arizona, and the Rams look good. I mean, I know that offensively, they do enough. Maybe not as much as they did a couple years ago, but they're still able to get the good running game going. The offensive line bounced back, and that defense has just been surprisingly good. You know, again, we don't know the names of these players, but they're doing a good job.
What's the attitude around the New England Patriots locker room? I'm seeing that their captain, longtime captain Matthew Slater, said didn't like what he saw in that game against the 49ers, suggested that they weren't trying hard enough in a game that... You know, it's weird to hear those sort of comments centered around a Bill Belichick coach team. What do you think's happening there?
I just think it's all kind of falling apart. And what you're looking at is Cam Newton's playing horrible. That's one of the slowest wide receiver groups other than what we saw last year in Philadelphia. The tight ends, I mean, that's why, if I'm John Snyder, I'm calling over to Bill Belichick to say, you give me a seventh for Jacob Hollister? I mean, what? Jacob Hollister came here, was started out in the practice squad. He ended up with over 40 catches, more than the three combined tight ends on last year's team. And the three tight ends on this year's team have, like, 7 or 8 catches. And so there's nothing there. You can see defensively, it is catching up to them with their front seven, losing, four of the top five linebackers, Danny Shelton in that, and then having, Bo Allen, one of the main guys that they signed, injured. I mean, it's all kind of falling apart. And now the rumor comes out that if they can get the right price for Stephon Diggs, their best defensive player, they would trade him. I mean, they're 2-4. They go to Buffalo this week, and they're almost on the verge of being a seller as opposed to a buyer. But, of course, they have to do the selling pretty fast because the trade deadline is Tuesday.
So I guess that means that, everybody wanted to, determine whether it was Bill Belichick made Brady or Brady made Belichick. Right now, Brady's having a much more successful season, despite his rickety old age, Jim. And Belichick is really struggling there.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, it's like, they both were so good together, and separation is now, leading to a bad Patriot team and a very good Tampa Bay team. It's just kind of the way it goes, and, somehow Belichick will figure something out, but I don't know if he's going to be able to figure it out for this year.
How much longer do you think he coaches, John?
I'd say probably 3-4 more years.
Yeah. Enough time to, possibly prove it to himself that he can do it without Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, he'd probably take one more Super Bowl run. He's got cap room next year like crazy. He gets the 8 guys that opted out. They're available to him if he wants those guys. And so And then he's got to figure out what he wants to do and what's he get a quarterback. Does he go with Jared Stidham? I think you can see right now the way Newton's playing, they're not going to bring him back. And yeah, you know, my thought was, even if he got them to the playoffs and lost, that they probably wouldn't bring him back anyways. They'd probably want the compensatory pick that they would get if somebody signs him.
You know, I forgot about the opt-out list. Wasn't Dante Hightower on that list?
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and there was a few other that were pretty good players, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they, you know, again, that's what killed them, because, you know, here it was, they lost, you know, guys in free agency, Harmon at safety, you know, they lose Kyle Van Noy, you know, they lose Jamie Collins
yeah.
Danny Shelton, and then all of a sudden, boom, eight guys go out on the opt-out, and it just paralyzed them. I mean, again, I thought they were going to make it through because I thought the signing of Newton would keep them in the race. But, you know, come Sunday in Buffalo, I mean, now we'll find out if, you know, they're just going to be an afterthought or they're going to be a player.
John, what's the latest with Christian McCaffrey? Is he going to play Thursday night against the Falcons?
No, it's too soon. I think that that he put him on the return list. I think he's one more game away. And so I think he's going to be back more next week than it is going to be this week. Too short of a time.
John, the 253 wants to know, is Bobby Wagner playing anywhere near his $18 million contract?
Yes. I mean, he's good. I mean, remember, don't worry about the money, okay? I mean, it's like, what, are you going to cut him? I mean, he's already made, you know, he's already guaranteed the base salary, and he's still, you know, a Hall of Fame type of middle linebacker. So it's like, you know, don't worry about the money, worry about the play.
Well, I don't think they're worried about the money as much as is he living up to it. Is he playing at that level, in your opinion?
Maybe not the $18 million, but of course, when you're on the 32nd ranked defense, I mean, who is playing up to their numbers?
Yeah, but when you make that much money, don't you expect him to make a bigger impact than he has?
Well, where is he right now? Is he still the leading tackler on the team? I mean, that's an
impact.
Yeah,
but where does he make those tackles?
Well, I mean, makes them, you know, a lot of those tackles are key stops that he makes, and so he makes them there. But, you know, it's okay. Like, if everybody's going to start turning on Bobby Wagner, you might as well just turn your eyes and just shut your eyes and not even think about the season.
Who's playing the best on this defense right now, you would say? Because I talked about Benson Mayo. Yeah. I think KJ.
I would vote for KJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, even though you don't see much of him, I think Diggs is doing well. I still like what I see from Benson Mayoa. You know, Reed and Puna Ford, particularly Reed in the last couple of weeks played well. Puna Ford, I think, is doing well. But it's the pass rush that's missing.
Professor, I'm reading from Brady Henderson's Twitter. He covers the Seahawks for ESPN.com, talking about Jordan Simmons filling in for Mike Iupati for the second straight game. He's got the seventh best pass block win rate of any NFL offensive lineman, which is third best among the guards. Should Simmons be a permanent replacement for Iupati?
I think it's got to be a consideration because it's working out well. I mean, you know, people wondered about Damian Lewis and how he would do, and he's done exceptionally well. I think Brandon Shell, even though he's had a couple penalties in the last couple weeks, I think he's done well. But I think overall, yeah, I think you look at you know, what's there, and it's like, okay, you know, Jordan Simmons, because you know they liked him and they put him out there at times last year in the limited time he was on the field, and he really, you know, didn't know what he was doing, but he did some good things. And so I think what you're looking at is the possible starter of the present and possible starter of the future.
John, good stuff. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, if you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. Well, it's time for the one, the only, El Hombre, Michael Bradley. We'll see how he's feeling about the Eagles leading the NFC East with that wicked 2-4-1 record. Get his take on all of that. Coming up with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee Wee?
What? El Hombre.
First of all, as a service to the listeners, this is an absolute forget about it.
El Hombre.
He's a pariah. I mean, it's like going after raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
El Hombre.
We look forward to it every Tuesday here with Bob, Dave, and Moore. A conversation with the one, the only, El Hombre. Michael Bradley, how are you, man?
What's happening, everybody?
I would imagine there's joy and exuberance, the likes of which you've never seen in Philadelphia, because your Eagles lead the NFC East with a 2-4-1 record.
the parade route has already been mapped out. The fans are staking out their spots, socially distanced, of course, and everybody's ready for a Super Bowl victory.
I know it's probably rough, 2-4-1. Yeah, you're in first place, but I would think the best medicine for that is watching what's going on with the Cowboys. They get worse every week. We talked about them last week, and now this week they lose again. They're being called out for not having any heart in protecting their quarterback after Dalton was knocked out of the game, being called out by their head coach, being called out by others, and then you got who is it? Mike Nolan rubbing Tabasco in his eye.
Yeah, that was the perfect end to a nice little stretch there. They're giving up 35 points a game. I mean, that is unbelievable. You almost have to try to be that bad when it comes to giving up points. So they're a train wreck. I mean, look, I don't root for injuries. I'm not happy that Dak Prescott is out. I'm certainly not happy. I was watching when that hit came. My goodness, what a horrible hit. I certainly don't want Andy Dalton out. They're starting a rookie from ODU this weekend against the Eagles. It doesn't look good. The owner, Jerry Jones, is sniping at radio commentators. It's just a big mess. So, yeah, I'm loving that.
Yeah, what do you make of Mike McCarthy? Because, he was kind of talking about maybe there should have been more outrage over it, or the offensive line, or he's going back and forth. And then, before he's kind of had a little bit of him and Aaron Rodgers didn't have a great relationship, it didn't seem like, either.
No, who knows whether he was the right pick, right? This is something that Jerry Jones knew was going to happen for a couple of years. He just couldn't pull the trigger, and I mean getting rid of Jason Garrett. So for him to say, okay, we're going to go get a retread from Green Bay who had alienated his quarterback and had just sort of fizzled out. This wasn't an Andy Reid situation in Philadelphia where his last year or two when they were bad was because of a lack of talent. This was because McCarthy had kind of lost his team. Reid went to the Chiefs and was immediately successful because he's a heck of a coach. I don't know whether McCarthy's a heck of a coach, but when you got players this early saying we're not being coached properly, there's not a plan, there's not good leadership, that's never a good thing to hear. And for an owner to be hearing something like that with, like, Jerry Jones saying basically, looks like you messed up, pal. Now what are they going to do, fire him and try to start again next year? It's delicious.
Yes, it is. Okay, Michael, you were watching the game. What'd you think of Daniel Jones' run?
Oh, that was tremendous. And it's, look, in defense of quarterbacks, they're not used to running 100 yards, right? They run like 30 or 40 yards, right? He started leaning forward when he got to the 40-yard line, the 30-yard line, sort of like, where is it? Where's the goal line? I've never done this before. This is completely alien territory. And when he fell down, now I'll tell you this much. The Giants stink, right? They blew the lead against a bad Eagles team. If I'm the coach or the owner or the general manager and I see players in the first or second quarter of a game, I can't remember when it was, on the sidelines laughing when you're 1-5 going to the game or whatever they were, I'm not too happy. Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah, it's funny, but you don't laugh about something like that. You need every single point you can get, and there was no guarantee they were going to get in the end zone after he fell down.
Who do you think's the best team in the league right now? Just look at—I mean, everybody out here, we're wringing our hands about this Seahawks defense, which has been really, really bad. End up losing a game they should have won against the Cardinals. So, where do you look at the Steelers as the best team overall? Who is it for you?
I think you got to look at the Steelers. They're undefeated. They held off a good Tennessee team on Sunday. I think they were on the road. Granted, you're not in front of 67,000 people from Tennessee, but you're still traveling, et cetera. I still think the Seahawks are a really good team, but we talked about this. They think that, it's about outscoring people, but at some point you're going to get outscored. And they're last in yards given up, and I mean, by 55 a game. That's huge. Now, they're only 23rd in points allowed, so I mean, it doesn't always translate to giving up a million points, but You got to tighten it up some. You can't win in the postseason with a defense that bad. And Kyler Murray, when the highlight of your game is the fact that the wide receiver runs 22 miles an hour to catch the guy who's intercepted your quarterback, that's not a great thing.
Why do people in Pennsylvania call them the Stillers?
That's Western Pennsylvania. We don't call them the Steelers. Okay. That's out there. They say things like gum bands instead of rubber bands. Instead of saying y'all or yous, they say yins. And my sons went to school out there, and they came back, and they say stuff like, my hair needs cut. My bed needs make. It's weird.
No. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and they got this place out there that's called Sheetz, that's like a convenience store that they think is better than Wawa, which is back here, so forget it. I mean, and by the way, the Premonti Brothers sandwich that everybody talks about, it's the most overrated thing in the world. It's awful.
Gum bands? I've never even heard of that.
Gum bands instead of rubber bands, yeah. And now, I mean, this, a close second is that Skyline Chili disaster in Cincinnati. But,
they rave about that out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's because they're in southern Ohio. I mean, what else do they have? They're almost in Kentucky, for crying out loud.
Hey, Michael, I felt like a little kid watching the World Series Saturday night. It was such a terrific game. Maybe I'm overstating that. One of the best World Series games I've ever seen. We got game six tonight. I'm sure hoping it goes seven. What are you thinking there?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you guys are you guys read El Hombre, back in July, I said it was going to be Dodgers over Rays in six games. So that was, you know, if you go back and check it, you can look it up. That was a heck of a game. I mean, I think each team scored in each of its last four at-bats. You don't see something like that. So you talk about seesawing and such a crazy ending. You always want it to go seven. Unless you're a rabid fan of one of the teams, you want it to go three. But, you know, you want it to go seven. Seventh game of anything is always great fun. So I'm hoping for the Rays to come through tonight against the rookie and then, you know, set up a game seven. The reason there's so much fun is it's like the manager says before the game to every pitcher, can you give me one inning? Can you give me two innings? And then you get a thing like Lincecum the year that he did it. So this has been entertaining, and I just, you know, like anything else, I want more.
Do you want to see them continue with the rules that they put in place this season? For me, this season was like anything goes. Try whatever you want. I don't care. Yeah. It's a weird 60-game season. But Rob Manfred was talking about, oh, wow, we really like this runner on second to start extra innings. We really like the expanded playoffs. I don't mind the expanded playoffs. I don't want to see the runner. It's too gimmicky. It's too, you got to earn your place on base. I don't like it.
I don't like that. I don't like the seven-inning doubleheaders. I don't like, I hate the designated hitter, but that, I'm fighting a losing battle on that one. And while expanded playoffs are right, I don't want eight teams. I mean, that's more than half of the league getting in after a 162-game season. I mean, the NFL doesn't even have half its teams get in, and it only plays 16 games. So, I think that's bad. I mean, I wouldn't keep any of it. But, you know, then again, I'm a troglodyte. Oh, by the way, my demographic's the only one that watches baseball, so why not listen to us?
Because they're trying to bring in the youth, Michael. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, these youths here. And by the way, that ship sailed, okay? That young people are not going to be saying, hey, why don't I give baseball a try? I've got nothing to do for the next 4.5 hours.
Yeah, I hear they put a runner on second in extra innings. That's great. I'm in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Some 22-year-old slacker sitting there is going to interrupt his Worlds of Warcraft or whatever the heck video game he's playing and say, hey, I'm going to watch the 10th inning because they start with an imaginary runner on second. why don't you have like weird ground rules like everybody did when you played wiffle ball as kids? If it goes in the bush on a fly, it's a triple. If it bounces in, it's a single. It's like, come on. Just put a big tree in the middle of the outfield or something.
He is El Hombre, Michael Bradley. You can follow him on Twitter at Daily Hombre. At Daily Hombre is where you find him on Twitter. Michael, great stuff. We'll do it again next week.
So long, suckers.
There you go. That was pretty clean, right, Jim?
Swish.
Swish? Okay, good. Good. It's important. I know that's your favorite part of the whole proceeding.
I love that.
All right, coming up, Seahawks have the best record in the NFC West, but do you believe they're actually the best team? We'll talk about that next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. Download it for free. Take us with you everywhere you go. You can listen to podcasts from the app, the video stream. I think you can text from there. You got it all at your disposal right there with the app, and it's free. So check that out. Meanwhile, we talked about the Seahawks having the best record in the NFC West, which I think most people assume, look at, and say, yeah, that is the best division in all of football. But are they the best team in this division? You've got the Cardinals, who are 5-2. Seahawks are 5-1. Rams are 5-2 now. And even the 49ers are 4-3, and actually look pretty darn good considering everybody they've got injured. Are the Seahawks the best team? I think they've got the best offense. I think they've got the best quarterback. They've got the worst defense of all of these teams. They allow more points than any of these teams. Can you call them the best team when their defense is so dramatically opposite of what their offense is?
I don't think so. I mean, they're not the most complete team, that's for sure. I mean, when you have that big of a disparity between your offense and your defense, it's not stable. I mean, really, to me, it's the Rams, which I hate it. But, man, as far as yards go, they're number six. They were number four at one point. But they're only giving up 312 yards. And then John keeps talking about how Clayton, a bunch of no-names, but, you know, they got Johnny Johnson, Jalen Ramsey.
Taylor Rapp.
Abukum, who I think is a good player, the linebacker, and, of course, Aaron Donald. So, yeah, I mean, there's some guys that you can recognize there. But that's the – I mean, it seems like the most together team as far as their record – where they rank, and this just, you know, and total yards isn't always a huge deal, but it's an indication that you're getting off the field, and then, you know, if you want to do points, I mean, they're second in scoring. So, and then same thing with Arizona. They went down quite a bit, but, you know, they dropped down to, what, number 9 or 10, but they're giving up 20 points a game. I mean, you could argue that they might be a better team than the Seahawks right now. But, look, record-wise, yes. But as far as, you know, you look at defense, the Niners are in the top five in scoring defense. Yeah. Everybody's playing defense.
The Seahawks are 23rd in points allowed.
Yeah, it's weird. It was weird going into the Arizona game. It was like they stole our identity. You know, they were the number two scoring defense, and they have the number four run game down in Arizona. A lot of that because of Kyler Murray, but still. You know, that used to be the case with Russell Wilson and the defense here. So, yeah, to me it's the Rams right now, and then they've always given them trouble. You know, they're typically going to split. You know, Arizona, I thought the games that they would lose this year would be Arizona at home, at the Rams, and then I can't remember what, maybe Bills or something. But, you know, that it's a fairly easy schedule that the Seahawks have. But when you get into the NFC West, which we're going to see a stretch here, it's going to get tough.
Yeah, I'm probably with you on that one, Dave. I would say the Rams, even though they're 5-2 and the Seahawks at 5-1, and maybe it's just because of what we saw last night and looking at some of the stats, 10th on offense, 6th on defense, 3rd in sacks with 24, and then they've only given up 33 points in the second half all season, so less than 5 points a game in the second half. And you mentioned it. You're right. It's a tough matchup for Seattle. It was their only road loss last year, and they came within an eyelash of losing. If Zuerlein makes that 47-yarder, they'd get swept by Los Angeles. So we'll see. It's going to be tough. I mean, coming off the road trip back to Buffalo next week and then going to L.A. to face the Rams. But yeah, right now the Seahawks just look a little too shaky at 5-1 with that defense to be considered the best team.
Yeah, I think if you're being objective, it's hard to call them the best team in this division right now. They may end up being that. And again, they are the best offense. They've scored more points than any team in the division. Actually, they're tied with the Cardinals, but the Cardinals have played 7 games. Seahawks have played 6, and they've both scored 203 points. So they're the most explosive offense in this division. Again, best quarterback, but it's such a massive gap between the offense and the defense. I think if you're objective and calling them the best team, you're not objective, I guess, would be the point there. But this game this weekend scares me. I mean, because the 49ers and what they asked Jimmy Garoppolo to do is exactly what the Seahawks have trouble with. Guys just throwing little shots over the middle, and I know the Seahawks have definitely given up big plays, but they seem to get killed over the middle, and Jimmy Garoppolo is kind of the king of the check down, dink and dunk and move down the field. They don't ask him to do a ton. They don't take a lot of risk out there, and maybe they'll do more if they think the secondary is a massive problem for the Seahawks, but they just feel like a team that is finding a way, despite all of these major injuries they've had, to plug those holes, and they look in their last few games, they've won 2 in a row, they look really good. And this, I'm not sure what my pick is, but right now I don't have a ton of confidence going into this game against the Niners.
Yeah, and they still, you know, have what, the number 8 run team and as far as yards per game. So even though they've had injuries and whatnot, 138 yards a game is what they're picking up. I think they have some great plays that they run. You know, their run game is really creative. They do a really good job with it. So, yeah, it's just until further notice, until they either fix something, or if you guys think, you know, they need to bring somebody in, you know, whatever.
Are you against that?
I'm not against it. I'm not like breathlessly freaked out over it like Jim was in the first segment that we did.
Jim was breathlessly freaked out.
You could hear
him
like, and we got to get. I was like, holy
I like it when you rip me, Dave. You just keep it going.
No, I mean, I was just trying to calm everybody down. Like, oh, hold on. They are 5-1.
And Jim's hyperventilating.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't even know why I do that, because, you know, it's not like I'm generally passionate about much of anything but dogs. you know, I have a hard time once I get revved up, as you know.
Well, I don't think it's a bad thing.
It's a snowball effect once it gets going.
Well, that defense is just so bad that you have to do something, don't you? It's just blatantly obvious.
Well, I know, but what do you do?
Well, something.
Okay,
anything.
Well, what's the something?
Okay, get another pass rusher. Roll the dice, and let's go with the blitzing. I don't even care, you know, if you get beat over the top. Oh, man, you know, Pete's always trying to keep everything in front of you. Well, okay, if you blitz more often or do something, you know, send the safety, send the corners, send Bobby.
Send everybody.
You know why? You know why? I'd rather not have the quarterback get enough time to just go, hey, you know, progression one, progression two, progression three. Oh, there's a guy that's open. And so, and I wouldn't be saying all this stuff. It'd be crazy talk normally if it was a normal defense, even if it was just slightly below average. But this defense is abysmal. I don't even use that word. I can spell it, I think. I can spell it, but not say it very often. But they're terrible. And so you need to try something different. That's all. And then if it doesn't work, if you have the casino blitz and it doesn't work and you get beat over the top, oh, well, at least we're trying something different. What we've been doing hasn't worked.
When did you become Trent Dilfer?
The casino blitz.
I don't know. I wanted to sound cool for a second.
Yeah.
Well, that's when you send everybody, isn't it?
Yeah,
it was. You know, I was thinking about rolling. I was thinking about rolling dice, and I thought I'd pull out Casino Blitz too.
Yeah, there you go. All right, yeah. Coming up. Did we have enough time to educate ourselves today? We'll find out next with What We Learned. It's Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn
because knowledge is power.
A short show because you got the World Series coming up here in a few moments, but learning happened nonetheless, right, Maura?
Oh, as always.
What did we learn today?
We learned what Sky thought of Chris Carson's injury.
Reports, I don't know if it came from his agent or what, but maybe he's going to try and play this week. You certainly aren't going to get him anywhere close to 80 or 90%. It's always amazing to me how my wife will leave and go to Costco and my kids will just take off and leave me with the puppy.
It's weird.
And so then...
Do you have a fenced yard?
I do. I've got a hidden fence, yeah.
Oh.
And I put them outside and they still want to come in and, yeah, but...
What do they do if you put them out there and you shut the door? Do they bark outside or what happens?
Well, I leave the door open so they can come and go as they please. And I have a hidden fence from Dog Watch at Puget Sound. And it's the second episode of third season of Bark coming
to your podcast
pages in November.
Can you close the door, the sliding door?
No, it can't. He'd rather plug his show.
No, I can close all the doors, but then they come downstairs to where I'm set up. And then they look in the window and then you can hear them barking. Coming through the window.
Unlike now where you can't hear them barking.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Some people might consider me a deadbeat dog owner. I'm challenged a little bit here.
What else do we learn, Maura?
I just want
By the way, his agent, Matt Nelson, told him to get that bark plug in. So.
Jeez. Hey, can you just get the, can you isolate that quote at the very end, what he just said?
What was that?
Deadbeat dog owner?
No, something like, I'm compromised or... The end.
Yes. What else, Maura?
We also got a geography lesson from the professor.
Professor, I'm curious about the state of the 49ers. They're hard to figure out. Maybe
it's
just
California.
Yeah.
I couldn't resist. It's like, sorry, Jim.
A good one, professor. I really enjoyed that.
Ooh, zinger.
Clayton,
a zinger.
Really,
he's wacky.
Really quick, though.
That was good.
I mean, usually he gets all fired up and starts, you know, it's like.
He ramps up to it.
Yeah, he's winding up.
Yeah, that one was just California.
I'm going to say something funny. Here it comes. It's going to be hilarious.
I also typically don't like it when people laugh at their own jokes, but I really liked that Clayton laughed at his own joke on that one. That was good. Very well done.
Well, Danny always did that too, didn't he?
What, crack up at his own jokes?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah. Well, Danny loves his jokes.
What Danny would laugh at, though, he would laugh at your disgusted look at how corny and stupid it was.
He wins that way.
Yeah. That's how dad jokes work.
Yeah,
they
the
want
more
that
you
reaction.
Roll your eyes, the more you go, oh, come on, man. He's like in pure delight at that moment.
You know what I call him, Maura?
What's that?
Jokes.
My dad lives for that reaction. Like, yeah, he loves when we just roll our eyes and go, oh, God.
It's great. Yeah. I love embarrassing my kids.
Did your
but
parents
we would say you're
you?
Embarrassing yourself.
Yeah, yeah, I know you would. damn kids.
Did your parents ever do that when you were a kid where you'd be like, Dad, come on.
My dad constantly. Oh, yeah. Always with the corny jokes.
And now you've taken over.
Yeah. Yeah, I have.
It's just like ingrained in you when you become a father, I think.
It just happens.
I remember getting my dad and his brother together once, and my uncle told a joke that was along the lines of something my dad would do, and I looked at my cousin and I was like, your dad does it too? Yeah.
Thought it was
runs
just
in the
yours.
Family, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad used to torture me in front of my friends.
Yeah.
Come in. Just come walking out with his underwear pulled up to his chest. Oh, walking out, just looking around like, what? What's the matter? Just in his underwear, no shirt, no nothing, pulled up to his chest. Like, oh my God, get out of here.
My dad's big joke was, I probably shouldn't even tell it. It was so stupid. I mean, it's like inappropriate now and everything, but you know what? Never mind.
Already?
You going Archie Bunker or something there?
No, it wasn't anything like that. All right, I'll say it. He would say, she's not fat, Dave. Like, you told me she was overweight or something stupid like that. And he would always make those kinds of jokes. And yeah.
Do that in front of your girlfriend you had sitting there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
sometimes.
No.
And then every once in a while he would call the waiter or waitress Sport. And try to like joke around with him. And it was just terrible. And you're just like, Dad, please just be quiet.
Just place your order. Let's get our food. We don't want them spitting in it.
Yeah.
What else did we learn more on?
We learned what El Hombre thinks of Western Pennsylvanians.
Why do people in Pennsylvania call them the Stillers?
That's Western Pennsylvania. We don't call them the Stillers. Right. That's out there, they say things like gum bands instead of rubber bands. Instead of saying y'all or yous, they say yins. And my sons went to school out there, and they came back, and they say stuff like, my hair needs cut. My bed needs make. It's weird.
No. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and they got this place out there that's called Sheets, that's like a convenience store that they think is better than Wawa, which is back here, so forget it. I mean, and by the way, the Primanti Brothers sandwich that everybody talks about, it's the most overrated thing in the world. It's awful.
What is this?
Yeah, like those sandwiches are so great in Philadelphia. What do they call those things there?
Philly cheesesteak.
Philly cheesesteak.
What do they call this?
Yeah.
What do they call those Philly sandwiches?
Do you like those?
With cheese.
Have you had those?
And steak.
Yeah.
I've had them.
Yeah,
they're good. He was singling out somebody in particular, the Primanti Brothers or something like that.
Oh, it's pretty well known. I've never had one, but it's all over. Anybody that goes to Pittsburgh talks about it. They put French fries on the sandwich. I showed Matt a picture and he was like, oh my God.
The Primanti Brothers do that?
Yeah.
Wow. And then he targeted Skyline Chili out there in Ohio. That's the big
never heard of it.
I've heard of it. I've never heard of it.
It's chili on top of spaghetti. Beanless chili on top of spaghetti with onions and cheese.
Ugh.
It's a Cincinnati thing.
Yeah, I remember Junior used to talk about that growing up, having Skyline chili.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I've never had, which I love, the commercials make it look so good, is Sonic. Has anybody been to Sonic?
I've never seen one.
I've never seen
other
one either.
Other than the commercials. I don't know where.
They're all over Colorado.
Yeah,
I used to have the unhealthiest meal ever in high school. They had a chicken strips basket that came with fries and toast, like white bread with a side of white gravy.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm. Like,
they give you a
nothing had any color, and it was all fried.
Yeah, they advertise out here all the time. I've never seen one.
Neither.
When I lived in St. Louis, they put this cheese on their pizza that is just garbage. It's called like Provel cheese or something like that. Mm. It is straight trash. In fact, when I got there, people that weren't from there, that live there, said, Bob, don't try the pizza. They're going to tell you it's good. It's not. It's the worst pizza ever. And they were right. It's garbage.
This was where? In
St. Louis. For whatever reason, I think it's Provel cheese. Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what it is. But it stinks. It's no good.
Mm-hmm. You like the deep dish pizza in Chicago?
I like it. Thin crust. I mean, it was fine. It was fine, but I prefer thin crust, New York style.
Yeah.
Did we learn anything else, Maura?
Well, I think we just learned everybody's food preferences.
All right. Yeah. That does it for us then. I want to thank our guests today, Poona Ford, John Clayton, and Michael Bradley, for joining us on the show. If you missed any of today's show, head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click that podcast button, scroll down to our picture, and click on that. We'll be back tomorrow right here at 3 o'clock with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.